Father, I thank you for this time. Father, I thank you for everyone that you have led here today. God, I thank you for just the calling that you have on people's lives to bring them here to hunger and thirst for your word. God, I just pray for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Would you help us focus in on you? Help us apply the truths that we learn. And God, I pray as we've been going through this series that we're not just people that seek to know about you. We're not even just people that surrender our lives to you, but it might actually lead us to spiritually growing to be more like Jesus. So God, just be with my words today. I surrender this message to you. It is all yours. And God, just bless these next few minutes. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So about 6 months ago, I started to notice this weird phenomenon that was happening with my body. That my metabolism wasn't working like it used to when I was a teenager. You have that? Junky food plus not exercising equals weight gain. Right, it's shocking, I know. It took me 30 years to figure out that life lesson. I've heard from those of you that are a little bit further down the path that it only gets worse. And it led me to become even more concerned. So what I decided to do, I tried to find every avenue to try and get around this. I knew that I couldn't. And so finally, about 6 months ago, I caved. And I decided to join Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness. Now, I want you to notice and understand this was a massive step for me. And it was a massive step for two reasons, all right? First, all right, listen. At Planet Fitness, you'll see signs on the wall that says, Planet Fitness equals no critics. And hey, this is a judgment-free zone. Okay, let's be real here this morning. When you go to a gym, everybody's judging everybody, okay? That's just how gyms work, all right? You can talk about judgment-free zone all you want. And, you know, if you're someone like me who's ripped, you know, I mean, it's not a big deal, right? It's not working today. Listen, I don't want to hear any of you say, you know, I was trying to use my magnifying glass and I couldn't see your muscles. Like, don't even give me that joke, all right? But in all seriousness, when we go to the gym, there is this element of feeling self-conscious, right? And we feel insecure when we walk into a gym because we're seeing people that can bench twice as much as we can and they're running twice as fast on the treadmill as we can. They are just more fit than we are, right? But there's another element to even more than that is that if you aren't used to going to a gym, it's overwhelming, isn't it? Because when you walk in, like I did for the first time 6 months ago, you look at this equipment, and it looks like a torture device, right? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Like, am I supposed to stretch? Am I supposed to pull a bar? I don't even know, right? And so, okay, no joke. My wife's gonna laugh. She knows this is true because she's the only one I've told except for the past two services. The first few weeks of me going to Planet Fitness, I only ran on the treadmill. I only ran on the treadmill. And the reason I told people that I was running on the treadmill was because I told them I was working on cardio. But do you want to know what the real reason was? I was running on the treadmill, and as I'm running on the treadmill, I'm kind of like people watching to see how people are using the machines. So I can learn, oh, that's how you use it. Okay, and it gave me confidence to actually go up there. It took several weeks before I actually did it, but I finally did it. And listen, here's the thing with gyms. Everybody knows when you walk through the doors of the gym, you know who's a pro at it, and you know the newbies. And the one thing you don't want to be at a gym is a newbie, or at least you don't want to be seen as a newbie. You don't want to be trying to figure out one of these, and it takes 5 minutes for you to figure out what you're even supposed to do, right? No one wants to do that. Listen, why did I do that? Like, why was I running on the treadmill? Why was I trying to watch before I ever actually just tried it myself? It was because I was afraid of people judging me, right? I was afraid of what other people would think if I didn't know how to use a certain machine. And so I wouldn't do it. And I kind of wonder this morning, are there people here today that treat spiritual growth like I treat going to the gym? We've been going through this Scattered Descent series, right? And we've been talking about, you know, our desire is to bring people that don't know about Jesus, and we want to mobilize people to find those people, seek those people out. We want to lead them. Obviously, God's going to be the one that leads them to surrender, but we want to lead them to become transformed followers of Jesus. And we've been talking about this step-by-step, every step of the way, for these five core strategic values that we're focusing on. We talked about, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are seeking, and I think there are many people in this room. There are many people in Bangor. There are many people in our state that they're seeking, they really want to know about God. They've even surrendered to God. They said, you know what, I want to give up my sin. I desire to follow you. God, what is your plan for my life? But then once they get to that point, maybe they even get baptized, and then they get to the point of, well, what's next? Like, what am I supposed to do after that? And if you haven't grown up in a Christian household, if you didn't grow up in any form of religion, this is really difficult for you, because this actually feels kind of like a gym, right? Because one of the things that people will say after, especially after you get baptized or something like that, it's like, all right, the first few steps you need to do, you need to read your Bible, you need to start praying, like start forming these spiritual formations. Those are good things. But then you look at the Bible, I mean, man, this thing is thick. I'm supposed to like read this in like a week? Like, am I supposed to start in the beginning? Am I supposed to start in the middle? What am I supposed to do with this, right? It feels like complicated gym equipment trying to read the Bible, right? Even this morning when I told you, hey, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, some of you have no clue where the book of Matthew is or what a chapter is or a verse is. And so when you hear that, you think to yourself, well, I can be one of those people that looks silly going to the table of contents first and trying to search it out, or I can just not open up my Bible at all and just kind of act like everybody else, I'm spiritually okay. Listen, I think prayer can be just as intimidating, right? When you're surrounded by people and you hear other believers and you hear their polished words of prayer. You know what I'm talking about? They have these poetic ways of just speaking to God, and you're thinking, man, those people just seem so spiritual. Like, they just seem to have it. Man, I wish I could do that. And when you start to compare yourself to those kind of people, what ends up happening? You actually only pray one prayer. You want to know what that prayer is? God, I pray that you don't have me pray in public, right? Because you don't want other people to hear your prayers, because you're self-conscious and you're afraid of how other people are going to perceive how you pray. And listen to this. It's because of this insecurity. It's because of this self-consciousness that we have. It actually will lead us to never, ever, ever joining a small group. You know why? Because if you're around a bunch of people, again, it feels like you're going to the gym again. It feels like, okay, there's this spiritual comparison of how much more do they know than I do. And so what happens? We don't want to join because we don't want people to know that, hey, we don't actually know spiritually as much as we think we should. We might have been in church in all of our life, but man, I really don't know much. So I'd rather just people not know that and keep my image, my spiritual image up. Listen, with serving, right? With sharing our faith, we think to ourselves, man, those other people, man, they know how to have a conversation with somebody and they know how to share their faith. They're so good at it. I could never do that. And so we never do. And it just seems like everyone else has it all spiritually put together. Like they know the meaning of the words from the original Greek and Hebrew, right? They know the original languages, and my goodness, like they know all the historical and cultural context from 2,000 years ago. And my goodness, they know all the theological terms, right? They know about justification and sanctification and propitiation, and they know about pneumatology, ecclesiology, eschatology, and soteriology. And you think to yourself, what, Adam, what are you talking about? Right? You hear some of those words, you're like, I have no clue what you are talking about. And that's how we feel. There's so much to learn here, you don't even know where to begin. You just feel so spiritually unfit, and it feels like you're at the first time at the spiritual gym. And so what happens, this is what happens, when you, over time, when you when you feel like this kind of disconnect between these other people are more spiritual than I am, or they know more than I do and I don't, then we start to become dependent on other people for our spiritual growth. That's why some people, maybe you're here today, that maybe the only time that you ever hear from the Word of God is when I talk to you about it on Sunday morning. There might be other of you that your spiritual growth is more grounded in a YouTube video or a podcast of somebody sharing about theological truths. You know what the reality is of that? Even with myself, even with Pastor Jerry, even with any of our other pastors that are on stage, there's some things that we could say that are true, and there's other things that might not be so true, right? But we can believe that instantly because we just assume based off of how much they know. We just believe it. There's a lot of people that they want to read the Bible, they want to learn how to pray, they want to learn how to share their faith, they really want to follow God with their whole life, but they just do not know how. They don't know how. Listen, this is, I want to be real with you this morning. This topic is really personal for me. I grew up going to church when I was 6 years old. But can I tell you something? I didn't learn how to read the Bible or pray until I was in college. 13 years, I wasn't taught. Maybe that resonates with some of you this morning. Maybe you've been in church for so long, and you've gotten to this point where it's like the point of no return. Like if I start asking questions, then man, people are really gonna start to think less of me spiritually. That might be you for this morning. That was definitely me, right? I didn't understand any of these stories. And listen, I don't blame anyone, but it gave me this deeper heart for something that's really wrong and really needs to be addressed in our churches. It is this fact that there are so many people, and we talk about this, about mobilizing. There's so many people that want to learn about God, want to learn his word, want to learn how to pray, but they don't know how. That is something that I really want to infuse into the culture, the DNA of our church. That we actually become a church that desires, that we don't become like Planet Fitness where we just put a sticker on the wall that says, no critics, judgment-free zone. No, that we actually, people can actually come ask questions about the Bible because they don't have a clue what it is. And instead of saying, man, I can't believe they don't know that, to be able to say, hey, I'm so glad that you asked that. Let me walk you alongside that. If we really believe that our city and our state are filled with wandering people that are like sheep that are lost without a shepherd, if they really don't fully know Jesus, then our mission should be to not only leading them to learn about Jesus and get baptized. That shouldn't just be the only metric that we quantify what the church should look like. It should actually be individuals that are what? Transformed. And that starts by slowly going after this, meeting people where they're at and taking them alongside one step at a time. That's why when we talk about this, what was our strategy for growing, it seems so simplistic, but I think it is incredibly powerful that we want to biblically guide and equip main people to follow Jesus. And I think there's a few things with that. First, we're going to go to the Bible, right? That's going to be every Sunday morning, we're going to focus in on that because we not only believe that this book has the way to eternal life, but we believe that this book actually transforms us to be more like Jesus day by day. Sometimes when we read a passage in Leviticus, we're thinking to ourselves, man, I don't even know what that means. Like, how does that even apply, right? That takes time to learn some of those things. But it's more than just placing the Bible as the epicenter of what our foundation is. I think what can happen is that a lot of churches will teach a lot of things, impart information to you, but we don't equip. What do I mean by equip? I mean giving you the tools, giving you the resources, and allowing you to be able to learn for yourself, to be able to feed yourself. We don't want to just have you in the spiritual high chair, just constantly feeding you, spoon feeding you every single day. We want you to learn how to grow up spiritually and be able to feed yourselves so that one day when you start to gain more confidence, when you're going to the spiritual gym more and you're getting more confidence, you can be able to teach other people, people like myself who had no clue how to use gym equipment, you could say that spiritually, hey, I can see, I'd love to help you just figure out where this passage is in the Bible. Hey, you want to learn this? Just providing tools and resources. That's why we have classes that we're doing, like for myself, doing Christianity 101. I love that class. It's probably one of my favorite things to do. Is that because I love to share, hey, here's some mental frameworks, here's some practical exercise to be able to help you learn about God's word. You're more than welcome to come if you're interested. Next week, we'd love to have you. But listen, there's other classes, there's other groups that really desire to do the same thing. That's why we're gonna be focusing on providing more online resources for you to be able to learn, okay, not only what the information is, but how to read the Bible. I think some of us just really struggle with that. How do I even read this thing? And there's a lot of dynamics to it, and there's a lot of training that goes to it. But once you do, man, you feel so free to learn for yourself. And that's why we'll keep looking through ways. Now listen, I think for some of you today, you look on your life and you think to yourself, okay, this is where I feel like I should be spiritually at this point in my life. And then there's like reality, right, of where we're actually at. And I think for some of you this morning, you might be discouraged by the gap. You might be discouraged because you see that and you're thinking to yourself, man, I should be here. Man, why can't I just be there? And you just get discouraged. And that's why it keeps you from just keeping the book closed. It's why it keeps you from praying, because it's just easier to just stay over there. And if you're discouraged this morning, I just want to share a verse that's been just on my heart that I want to share with you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Jesus is sharing these words of blessing upon his people. And listen what he says. He's, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is truth? What is right? What is good? What comes from God, from God's word? For they shall be satisfied. I want you to notice something. It doesn't say, blessed are the experts. Doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say, blessed are the theologians, right? What does it say? Blessed are those who hunger after me, who thirst after me, who do not give up on me, who want to strive for me. And it might not be quick, but just to continue to come for me. And I just want to challenge you this morning, for those that are in the room that you feel on this other end where you feel like you're spiritually unfit, you feel like I don't even know how to use the gym equipment. Can I just challenge you to just, if you've been one of those people that you've tried the spiritual gym, but it's been really difficult for you, and so you've kind of reverted back. Can I just challenge you? Can I challenge you just one thing? Would you just, even if this week it was just opening your Bible, that's a win, right? Open your Bible and just reading it. I know that sounds so simplistic, but listen, it's the small things repeated over time that will lead us. I mean, it's just like going to the gym, right? I can't go to the gym and just bench 500 pounds right now. I mean, goodness, look at that. I mean, you're not getting there. What would that take? It would take doing little at a time. That's exactly what I'm asking you to do. What is the thing for you to jump back in? Maybe it's just opening your Bible and just starting to read it again, even when we don't feel like it sometimes. And you're like, this doesn't really make much sense. That's okay. It's okay. Keep going. And maybe it's for you, it's just getting in this habit of prayer. Maybe for some of you, this is where our egos and our insecurities need to be set aside for a minute. Maybe some of us just need to ask for help. We need to ask for help. You say, just come to one of our pastoral staff, or come to someone that you trust that might be spiritually a little bit further down the road, and just say, hey, listen, I really struggle with this. Can you help me? Right? I wish I did that when I first started Planet Fitness. I wish I just went to the person and just said, hey, how do you use this machine? Yes, would I have looked like an idiot? Absolutely. But you know what? I would have felt so much freer after that. Maybe some of you, listen, our pastors, they would love to answer your questions. That would be their dream if they got an email that had said, hey, I would love to learn more about how to read the Bible, or I'd love to learn how to pray. Can you teach me? They would love that. Right? And can I tell you something? There's some questions that you ask us, like pastoral staff, ministry staff, Can I be real? They're here. They'll agree. Some of those questions you ask, we don't know the answer either, right? And that's okay. But we want to provide at least the resource to be able to just train you along the way, to be able not to just, over time, not just rely on people, but to be able to think for yourself biblically. Maybe you need to ask questions this morning. I think, you know, one of the greatest ways that we can grow, and I know we say this and it can fall flat on ears sometimes, but listen, one of the ways that you can grow is actually joining a small group. I know joining a small group sometimes it's intimidating. Again, goes back to the insecurity dynamic, right? But the reality is that when you are in groups like that, what can happen is that you're not only learning from other people that are a little bit further down the road than you, but they're also modeling what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, which you also need. We need other people that are walking down the road. Trust me, there are dozens upon dozens of people in this room that know the Bible better than I do. I'm looking at some of them right now, right? And that's, listen, I'm one of those people that I need to be in community. I need to be in a small group. I need to ask questions when I don't need them. And if that's the case, then don't we all? Don't we all? Listen, I don't think God's asking you to know everything. I think he's just asking you to be hungry for him and just seek after him. If you're like, man, I want to join a small group. I don't know what small group. You can go on the Church Center app. You can look under groups. You can see a bunch of groups. If you have no clue which one to go to, just write on the green card in the back seat in front of you. Just write your name, email, phone number, and then just check the box for small group. Put it in the black box. We'll connect with you sometime this week. We're going to help you. Okay? If you just have trouble, like, man, I don't know how to read the Bible. I don't know, Just write it. We will help you, but we don't know how to help you unless you ask. Where are you at this morning? What's your next step? I guess, will you pick up the weights again? Will you open your Bible again? Will you risk taking a chance on a group or praying or even asking questions and laying your ego aside? I'm telling you, it's hard work. I'm not promising you that it's easy, but I'm telling you something, it's worth it. It is so worth it. Okay. Sermon one, done. Okay. Sermon two. Now, for everybody else in the room who has grown up going to church all of your life, the people that know the Bible inside and out, you are the theological geniuses, we could say. This is for you. And honestly, this is even for the people that feel spiritually unfit right now, because what can happen is you can become this person if you're not careful. Let's go back to Planet Fitness, okay? We talk about how there's, you know, a judgment-free zone, but I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna share a stereotype that I see at gyms all the time that I think you see too. Imagine, I won't show a picture here, but imagine the person that works, like does, you know, muscular training, and they're lifting their arms, they're working on their chest, their whole upper body, but their legs are twigs. You know what I'm talking about? You can see that image, okay? Okay, what's wrong with that person, right? On one half, they look really great. The other half, you start to see there's an imbalance there. Let's try again. Those people, you don't see this, you can't see this visually as often, but the person that just works out on the machines, does muscular, that's all they do, right? Fill with muscle, and yet they do absolutely no cardio. Okay? Those pictures provide a scene, even spiritually for us as well, that this can happen easily in the church. Let me explain. Many of us seem spiritually fit on the outside, right? We go to church all our life, and we know all the church stories. You study scripture deeply. You may even lead discussions on it, really deep discussions on it. But when it comes to actually living out the truths that you say that you believe, you're that person that skips leg day. You hear me? You have focused so much on your head knowledge. You have focused so much on just trying to pump up how much you can know about God. My goodness, there's a wealth of knowledge you can learn about the Bible, right? And I'm not telling you to stop. That's a great thing. But what can happen is when you become so inflated to know things, what can happen over time is that if you don't meditate on those things, you don't let it seep down 6 to 9 inches. It's a problem. What you need to realize is that there are three elements to spiritual growth. Three elements. There's the head knowledge part of it, right? But what are the other two? There's a heart aspect, and there's a hands aspect, actually doing something. And when you get to this and you realize, okay, when Jesus starts talking in Matthew chapter 7, flip a few pages, when you get to the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus' greatest sermons that you can imagine, and even if you're just kind of skimming real quick from 5 to 7, you see a bunch of topics that he talks about. People love the Sermon on the Mount because it is so practical. It is so easy to apply that I can just share it with everyday life. And listen to some of these themes. Themes like anger and lust and divorce and oaths and retaliation, loving your enemies, giving to the needy, praying, fasting, not laying your treasures in here on earth, anxiety, judging. It keeps on going, right? And so there's these power-packed verses that people are hearing, and what Jesus says at the very end, this is what people miss, the very end of the sermon is the most important part of the Sermon on the Mount. If you miss the end, you miss it all. Skip down, Matthew chapter 7, go down to verse 24. Jesus says that everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. Why? Because it had been founded on the rock. He compares. He's talking about this idea of, okay, you heard all these words, but the question is, all these words should lead you to action. So the question is, are you going to do them? And he compares it to building a house. There are a few contractors that are in our church. And I think if I had any one of them come up on stage this morning, they would tell you, listen, you can build a mega million dollar house, right? And it can look fantastic. You can have the most amenities on the planet, but it won't matter squat if you have a poor foundation. Because you know what's going to happen over time? That wonderful, beautiful house will crumble down. And listen, this is what can happen with us as well. This is like the physical, spiritual image that Jesus is talking about, that it's the people that are twigs down below, but they're muscular up top. They focus so much up here. They focus so much on hearing. They focus so much on knowledge that they don't actually do anything about it. And that's why it leads to this progression of not only do we need, we do need knowledge, right? We do need the scriptures. That we do need theology and we do need doctrine because it's going to flow out of those things. It's what ultimately, when we think about these things, is the concept of what we call meditation, meditating on these things, not emptying our mind, but filling our minds with the things that we're learning, that as we start to do that, that it starts to affect our hearts. It starts to affect the way that we love. It starts to affect the way that we show compassion to others and humility towards others. That heart will stir us so much so that it leads us to act in service and obedience, and the list goes on and on. And Jesus is afraid of those who are going to the spiritual gym and they seem spiritually fit on the outside, but really they're just skipping leg day or they're missing cardio. Keep going. Verse 26, he shares, if you absorb so much here that you don't let it affect anywhere else, this is what will happen. Everyone who hears these words of mine but does not do them will be like what? A foolish man who built his house on sand. I don't know much about construction, but I'd imagine sand wouldn't be a good place to build a house. And what happens in the rain, same circumstances, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, beat down on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. He's reminding us that hearing his words are not enough. If we hear but we do not apply, we are spiritually unbalanced. Here's my greatest concern. This is my greatest fear for our church. This is our greatest fear for any church, any Christian. My greatest fear, and one of the temptations that will happen over time, is that as you start to gain more spiritual intellect, that you start to equate that to spiritual maturity. You hear me? Because you're learning so much about the Bible and you're praying more and da-da-da-da, because you're absorbing more up here, that you equate that to being spiritual mature. Can I tell you something? That is a lie. In fact, it's one of the most dangerous people in the church are the people that spiritually have the greatest knowledge on the planet and yet don't let it seep down. You know why? Because it's those kind of people that even though they are doing something wrong, they will justify what they're doing and they'll use the Bible to justify it. It's those kind of people that if they want something out of somebody, they will manipulate somebody using the Bible to get it. Spiritual intellect is not spiritual maturity. You know, there is a group of people in the Bible that I can remember that Jesus kept going to time and time again. And he kept saying that, man, you have so much head knowledge, but you have not let it seep down to your heart and seep down into your actions. What were those people again that starts with a P, ends in heresy? Pharisee, thank you, right? Pharisees, the Sadducees, you saw that all the time, right? Individuals that they looked spiritually fit. They had it all together. They knew all the right answers to the Bible trivia questions. But what was the problem? When it actually came down to letting it, meditating it on it, seeping down in here, and actually living it out here, what happened? It wasn't there. That's my greatest fear, the church, that your growth, it's only dictated by what you know, but it does not actually lead you. And that's why we keep going to this. We don't want to mobilize people to become intellectual followers of Jesus. What do we want? We want transformed followers of Jesus, and that incorporates all three parts. It incorporates the head, incorporates the heart, incorporates the hands. Listen, you need the head. Like, I want to be clear on that, right? Like, you can have a heart for something. You can let your emotions ride you to wherever it goes, and it could be completely wrong biblically. But I think for many of us, those that have grown up in the church for the longest time, my greatest fear is that this up here has ultimately sometimes corrupted your ability to get it down here and here. Some of you are actually here today, and you are genuine, and you're like, listen, Adam, I'm learning a lot, I'm growing a lot, And listen, my heart's being infected by some of these things, and I'm grateful for that. But listen, like in this modern world, when you look at the Bible and you're trying to understand like the context of like 2025 versus back then, like, man, how does this even practically apply? How am I supposed to live out some of these things when I talk to coworkers and they have questions about things that they never dealt with before? Like, how do I even deal with that? And that's why, as a church, that's why we're doing things like these seminars. We're not just doing them because we think they're fun. We think the reason that we're doing them is because we believe that there are certain practical things that each of us are facing in this world that we want to just tackle head on, not to just have more theological conversation about it, but actually provide exercises for you to be actually engaged in it, practically living it out. So I invite you tonight. We're doing one on Sabbath, right? Just making time for rest. We are so busy in this world. Like, we have no margin whatsoever to be able to actually spend time with God because we might be doing way too many things. We're going to talk about that. I'm excited for that. How many of you have dealt with anxiety before? If you're not raising your hand, come on, right? All of us have. And listen, that these are some of the things that people are wrestling with, we're wrestling with. We want you to invite other people who are wrestling with this, and let's engage it. Let's practically apply some of the things that we are learning. We want to biblically, practically engage with the Bible in our day and age. So listen, there's a whole spectrum of people here today, right? We talked about it all. We talked about one extreme that, man, you know nothing, and you are on the one other side of the extreme where you know most everything. But can I tell you something? There is no one in this room, no one on this planet that has reached the end of their spiritual growth. If you think you have, then you're already two steps back from that, right? So I'm going to ask you one simplistic, you're going to be thinking, Adam, that's your one takeaway from today. But if you are someone that hears this question and actually does this question, you will be a wise man or wise woman. The question is this: what is one step, I'm not asking you for 10 steps, one step that I can make to spiritually grow in my walk with Jesus? Just one step. Maybe for you, it's just opening your Bible. It's getting back into the spiritual gym. It might be just routinely praying. Maybe for some of you, it's laying down your ego, your insecurity, your self-consciousness, and saying, God, you are worth following and you're worth knowing about more than my insecurity. Some of you just need to lay down aside whatever is hindering you back from actually wanting to spiritually grow. For others on the other side of the room, you might need to get out of your theological commentaries, and you might actually need to get into the streets of with what you are hearing and believing, and allow that to seep in and actually move you into action. You know what? Maybe you're here today, and you're thinking, maybe this is your first time today. Maybe you've been coming for a few weeks. You've been kind of maybe in that realm of seeking, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I've heard about this Jesus before. I've heard the Bible, or at least things that were said in the Bible. Man, I don't really know. I don't know what this is about. Can I share a quick story with you? It's a short story of the Bible. This book shares about a God who created everything in the world, including you. But the problem is that even though he loved us, we didn't love him back. We rebelled against him, so much so that we decided that we wanted to be God. We wanted to go our own way, and so we did. And we chose the path that we wanted to go. And this book starts to share, as you start to unfold, that this God didn't just leave us in our own hopelessness and despair, but he's on a redemption plan to redeem us back. That this whole book talks about a story of a God who intervenes into the world to try and save his people, to rescue his people. Time and time again, he is there. And over time, he's cultivating this plan, and this plan ultimately ends with a man named Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene, and he's no ordinary man. He's a perfect son of God. God sends his own son to live a perfect life, and even though our punishment should have been that we died for our sin, for the way that we rebelled against God, instead, what does God do? He sends his son in our place. He sends his son in your place, so that through Jesus, through faith and belief and trust and making Jesus your Lord and Savior, that he not only rescues you from an eternal punishment that we should have all deserved, but what he also does is provides joy and hope and purpose in the here and now. That's the story of this book in 1 minute. Some of you are here today, and it's like, man, I have been desperate for hope. I've been desperate for joy, I've been desperate for purpose, I've been desperate for love and couldn't find it in anywhere else. I'm telling you, it's found right